on the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Well, if you're hitting the road after school breaks free this week on summer vacation, surely in the past you've come across a roadside attraction, you've pulled over with your family, got a picture or else visited, and many of you are sharing it at 1-877-300-7275. Vulcan has the USS Enterprise from Star Trek. We were discussing that earlier this morning. Sean reminded me of that, and Terry said, yeah, he confirms it too. I was surprised to hear a 20-foot tall Don Cherry statue is in Mortlach. Yeah, someone had texted that one in. Yeah, that was Adam that texted in. Terry said, yeah, he's seen it too. And it's right there. So that's rather timely. Yesterday, we were just talking about how frail Mr. Cherry sounded in his last podcast. So that's a roadside attraction. And our very own provincial news director, Sarah Mills, always likes to hit the road with her family. What are some of your favorites?
One thing that touches me for a nostalgia and just brings me back to a time and place, and I apologize to all our Ukrainian listeners because I'm sure I'm going to butcher this, but Kenora has the painted lady, the Ukrainian lady holding the bread, this huge statue, and it always meant that we were 30 minutes away from Preestville where my family and friends were, so we would always get out and have a family picture. I think she's called Lyshka. She's just beautiful. If you haven't seen her, and she's wearing this beautiful traditional Ukrainian outfit and holding bread as a welcome, because that area, of course, is very heavily Ukrainian in heritage. So it's just beautiful. If you haven't been, you have to.
Okay, that was one. You said you had another. What was it?
Well, it was, I think you said Garth, or one of the texters was talking about the boardwalk near Revelstoke.
Yeah.
Along that route, as a kid, I would always want to go to the Enchanted Forest. And my dad and my Uncle John said, no, we're not stopping. It looks stupid. We're not doing it. So finally, as a parent myself, we did a big road trip a couple of years ago. And I said, that's it. I'm going to put all these bad childhood memories. I am going to the Enchanted Forest. And it's like these little statues inside the forest you walk around, and they're all from fairy tales. Greg, this is the ugliest thing you've ever seen. They're horrifying. They're something from nightmares. They don't look like anything. They don't look like Snow White or Rumpelstiltskin or the Three Blind Mice. These are the ugliest things inside a forest.
And I'm looking at the pictures you texted me there now, too. I can agree with you. That looks extremely frightening, but something you need to maybe want to check out. All right, Sarah Mills, thank you so much for joining me. What about you? 1-877-300-7275. Your favorite roadside attraction. Share it with me now. I wanted to share the riders bragging about success they have seen not only on the field, but in the office as well, too. At the club's annual general meeting, the riders announcing it made a $2.1 million profit last season, and Rider CEO Craig Reynolds said they're seeing positive trends in attendance.
I'm fairly confident we're going to see some attendance growth this year. This game's trending quite positively. At this stage right now, compared to the same point last year, we've already sold 7,000 more tickets than we did at this stage last year.
Good to hear. There's been a bump too in season tickets after a decline in the last 3 years. In other Rider news, what's going on? The Trevor Harris watch is underway. He didn't practice yesterday. Now, don't read too much into it. I know there are some who might think, okay, as he took a good shot on last week's game, is a concussion protocol.
Dealing with a little bit of infection, kind of played through that, and then also he took a pretty good shot in the game. So we're just honestly just playing it kind of smart and kind of just look at that, but he's fine. You know, he's one of those kind of, you know, pushing me to do it. I say, hey, just relax. Let's just, you know, yeah. No, he'll be fine.
So, okay, being a little cagey there, the coach, but not admitting to anything other than just taking a precaution. If he can't play, Jake Merritt took most of the reps yesterday. He'd likely get the start. Kickoff Saturday, 5 o'clock against the Lions. The CJME Green Zone pregame show starts at 3. The last day of school anthem from Alice Cooper. It's a beauty. Yes, indeed. I remember the last day of school fondly, counting down to what was almost always an early dismissal bell, and then... Yes! Yeah! Exit doors of Rosemont Elementary. Little Greggy Morgan running across the field. Forget Christmas. This was the real holiday for me as a kid. Walking out on that last day of school, kind of felt like that scene right out of Shawshank Redemption where Andy, you remember, has his arms wide, facing the sky. That's the kind of feeling I would get on the last day of school. Completely overwhelmed with that freedom. And then two glorious months of cottage life ahead. That's what living was like for me growing up. Water skiing till your arms fell off. Oh yeah, we didn't have, you know, wakeboarding back then. Kneeboarding, did that behind the boat. Little fishing. Get a sunburn. That was a badge of honor. And for some reason, I always remember this too. That Meat Loaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Light. At the height of my loving being out of school. This was always on the radio.
Well, I remember every little thing as if it happened only yesterday.
And then as summer progresses, you begin the countdown to the exhibition right as a little kid.
We got to smile faster. Yeah, you're all looking so fine. I'm going to attempt it to you one more time.
Couldn't wait for the X. And the more my mom and dad had family and friends out of the lake to drink, the better it was for me because I got all the bottles to go and take for fair money, right? And my buddies and I, we would count down to Friday night of the fair because back in the day, that was CJME date night. Two ride for the price of one. Your date rides free. So my buddies and I, we would dream, who are you going to take? Who are you going to ask? Who's your summer crusher? You think they'll say yes? And in no time at all, we'd end up on the double Ferris wheel. My good friend Rick and I, year after year, didn't matter anyhow. So anyhow, then the fair would leave town, and that's when you begin to feel like, okay, we're losing our grip on summer again, and back to school shopping would come around, and before you know it, poof, 2 months gone. We'd start all over again. But soak it up. Last day of school. Congratulations to the class of 2025. I know not everyone is out today. Moose Jaw and Carriport, last day tomorrow. I think students in Belgona, yes, go till Friday. But public schools here, Catholic schools in Regina, are out. We spoke to some of the kids.
I'm excited to visit my family, go swimming, and have lots of fun. I'm going to miss seeing my friends and learning. I hope that everyone has a great summer.
And thank you for that, too. McKenna Francis is a mom who's looking forward to spending time with her kids.
I'll probably just take them to the splash park a lot, Wascana Pool, go to the beach, barbecues with family, friends, powwows.
Mia, sounding very happy.
I'm excited that I can swim all summer and play around all day with my friends. A bunch of our family lives out in Regina Beach, so we usually stay at their place.
And some are skipping the province, headed on family vacation like Rowan.
I'm really excited to go to the Calgary Stampede and just spend time with my family.
Isla, pretty pumped. School's
out. Oh, I'm really excited because I'm going to go to my cabin and have a ton of my friends over at my cabin for like sleepovers and stuff. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. I'm also going to go to my grandma and grandpa's house.
It's where I drank my first beer. It's where I found Jesus. Where I wrecked my
well, as school winds up this week, I know Belgoni, I believe Lumsden too, goes till Friday. It is also the time of the year where we think about summer vacation, and this morning we've been sharing some of the favorite roadside attractions some of you have ripped over and taken photos with or want us to know about. And Sheila and Weyburn told me that when they drove to Ottawa a few years ago, they came across a Winnie the Pooh statue and park in White River, Ontario, if you're going that far east. But lots to see and do across the country, and there are plenty of roadside attractions. My next guest, Craig Baird, loves them all. He's a bit of a historian when it comes to Canadian culture, and he likes to share cool and sometimes darker aspects of our history, all Canadian, helping you understand more of where we come from. And I'll tell you how to follow Craig here in a second, but he joins me on the phone now. Craig, you recently asked all your followers to come up with a list of Canada's favorite roadside attractions. How did you go about assembling the list?
Well, we took 448 different roadside attractions around Canada, and that was clear across Canada from coast to coast all the way up to the Yukon, Nunavut, and the Northwest Territories. And I just had people voting every day to determine which one would move on, which ones would win, and eventually which one would be the winner. And it was just to kind of show Canadians, especially with, you know, summer coming up, all the amazing things that they can see just by driving around the country and exploring the nation.
All right, define that roadside attraction. What are the qualifications first?
Well, it had to be something that was obviously accessible by driving to it, something very large, or maybe it was a town mascot, or just an unusual thing that would get you to stop on the highway and just go and take a photo with it.
Well, you live in Alberta now, in Edmonton, but you're, you know, a good Saskatchewan kid at heart here, too. You spent time as a journalist here, and you know our province well. So before I get to your list across Canada, what are some of your favorites here in our province?
Well, I mean, there's quite a few that I really like in Saskatchewan. I mean, I like the world's largest tomahawk and cut knife. I think that's kind of a really cool one. Gander the Gopher in Avonlea. And I like things that people will make that really don't make any sense. Like there's the combine in the sky in Allen, which is just a combine on a pole, and it's like, why is that there? And another one I really like is actually the Great Wall of Saskatchewan. It was made by this one guy over the course of decades, just piling rocks into a long wall. Why he did it, I don't know, but it's in Smiley, and it's just this very strange roadside attraction that a lot of people don't even know about. I mean, Mo the Dinosaur is a great one in Pontex. You got the Canada's largest turtle in Turtleford. So there's tons of different things you can see.
I'm not necessarily sure how many of those made Canada's favorite roadside attractions, and you had more than 400 listed at one point. And how many votes to narrow it down to the top ones?
It took 500,000 votes before we were able to get to the final, the winner of the entire contest.
I don't have enough time to break it down provincially, but what won in Saskatchewan?
Well, I think it will come as no surprise, but in Saskatchewan, the overall winner was Mac the Moose and Moose Jaw.
Across Canada, is there a top five? Or how do you want to break down some of the biggies?
How I looked at it was the top ones in each province,
okay,
and also kind of the top five. So like in the top four or five, you had a giant totem pole, which is in Victoria, British Columbia. Then you had the polar bear statue, which is in Churchill, Manitoba. You also had Mac the Moose. And then the final two that kind of were going against each other to determine who was going to win was the Terry Fox Memorial in Thunder Bay and the Terry Fox Memorial in St. John's. So Terry Fox actually won the one in Thunder Bay, won the entire contest as Canada's favorite roadside attraction. Beautiful view of Lake Superior and the giant statue of Terry Fox at the spot where the Marathon of Hope ended. And usually when I do these contests, anything with Terry Fox or something like that generally does very well.
I'm not surprised. Craig Barrett is my guest. He loves Canadian history. You're busy too right now trying to find out what Canada's favorite album is. And with Canada Day near, I got to ask you about how that vote's going.
We're still in round one. So we had 224 albums. We're currently going by chronologically through the year. So we just finished the 1990s. We're just getting into the 2000s. And obviously, you know, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Tragically Hip, they all do very well. Gordon Lightfoot, same thing. So we're just very early in the contest with this one, but it's definitely shaping up to be something a lot of people enjoy. They really enjoyed Canada's favorite song, which Gordon Lightfoot won with the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and they're really enjoying this one as well. About 100,000 votes right now.
Who do you predict is going to win favorite album?
If I had to predict, I think it's going to be fully, completely the Tragically Hip.
I would not disagree with you on that one, although I thought for fun you'd say Trooper.
Well, they were in the contest.
All right, Craig, hit me up with your handle there on X where people can find you to vote with that.
You just search for Craig Baird, C-R-A-I-G-B-A-I-R-D.
And do you have a website you want everyone to know about?
Yeah, CanadaEHX.com, and you can listen to my podcast, Canadian History X, and that's EHX on all podcast platforms.
And you're just going to hit the road now on a cross-Canada tour, aren't you? You're going to stop in Saskatchewan?
Absolutely, I am. I just finished my first history book on the building of the Trans-Canada Highway, so I'm going to be hitting the road and exploring the entire country.
How about we catch up when you come through Regina in due time, okay?
That works for me.
Well, I'll admit, a little before my time, but some of you, this might be of interest. 70s teen idol, singer, TV actor Bobby Sherman died yesterday. He was 81. He had several top 10 hits. Here's a few.
Hey, little woman, please make up your mind. You've got to come into my world and leave your world behind. Come on now. Whatever may think that I was number one, I ought to know Easy come, easy go.
Some of his big hits. He was a TV star and just a heartthrob. Donny Osmond actually using social media to say goodbye to Bobby. He reflected on how he was always on Tiger Beat magazine. Well, Bobby Sherman in his day as a young boy was spotted on the cover of Tiger Beat many times. And Donny Osmond said, in many ways, the world of teen idols began with Frank Sinatra in the 40s, Elvis in the 50s, then Bobby Sherman in the 60s. And Osmond went on to say, little did I know that one day I'd share those very same magazine covers with Bobby. So he is saying, thank you for introducing to me to the world. Bobby Sherman, 81 years old. When I was doing a little research on this, he actually became a cop and, a deputy sheriff and taught emergency medical training. He thought, you know, after he had kids, he wanted to be able to take care of them. And he thought, you know what, I'm going to learn CPR. And he took those habits, and that's what he did for a living, teaching CPR and working with the LA Police Academy as well, too. And as I look further into his career, it's when I discovered that, and I kind of forgot about this, I have weak memories of this as a little kid, where on the back of cereal boxes, the occasional time they'd come out and there'd be a 45 single on the back, and not like an album attached to the cereal box. You'd have to cut it out, a special vinyl coating on the back of the cereal box that would play a song. And Bobby Sherman's music was on the back of cereal boxes quite often. You can go to eBay and see them. They sell for $20-$25 if they're in mint condition. Hockey Hall of Fame announcing that Joe Thornton's going in.
They score! Joe Thornton!
Yeah, he deserved it. He was pretty in awe when Lanny McDonald and Ronnie Francis called him up and said, you're in.
It's Lanny and Ronnie Francis here. I'm going to let Ron give you the so-so news. How's that?
Okay.
We're trying to figure out what you're doing in November. But I'll let...
If anything involves hanging with you, Lanny, I'm in. And Ronnie.
Hey, Joe, I just wanted to let you know that... we're really excited to welcome you into the Hockey Hall of Fame. You were voted
today by his Holy doodle.
And he went on and on. He was just so excited. Also getting the nod to the Hockey Hall of Fame with Stanley Cup champion Alexander Mogilny. I couldn't believe it when I read yesterday that he wasn't even in there. I thought he was. He's the first NHL player to defect from the Soviet Union.
Mogilny going ready to go!
Yes, over 1,000 career points in 990 games. In fact, in the 92-93 season, he scored 76 goals, so he deserves it. Zdeno Chara also getting the nod to join the Hall of Fame. And former Blackhawk and Oiler Duncan Keith, too, is getting in there. CJME News Time now is 827.